The CSIS Africa program has undertaken a major project looking at the risks to stability in 10 countries in sub-Saharan Africa in the coming decade. I'm pleased to be joined by the author of our report on Uganda, Dr. Joel Barkin. Dr. Barkin is a senior associate with the CSIS Africa program and a specialist on issues of democratization and governance across Anglophone Africa. Joel, your outlook for Uganda in the coming 10 years is fairly pessimistic. What key stress points did you find to lead you to that conclusion?
I am indeed pessimistic, and that's because after two decades of considerable accomplishment, Uganda's long-serving president, Yoweri Museveni, has basically started to overstay his welcome. Museveni is now 67 years old. He forced through the repeal of term limits 5 years ago in order to run for a third presidential term. He was recently reelected for a fourth. At the end of this term, he'll be 73 years old. Eventually, you have to step aside. And in many ways, the sooner he steps aside, the better, in order to consolidate the achievements that have occurred on his watch. But in recent years, we've seen rising corruption. Now to the point that there are some indications that, as we saw in Kenya in the early 1990s, the Office of the Presidency is beginning to loot the Treasury. This is crowding out the provision of social service delivery, rising discontent among the population, as we've seen in recent protests, and perhaps most important, we now see perhaps the beginning of a failure of the Museveni government's ability to manage the economy, something it has always gotten right until now, but it failed a review by the IMF in February, and this doesn't look good.
Okay. And to push a little bit further on Museveni's presidency, Museveni is fresh from a resounding victory in February's elections. But in your paper, you suggest that his position is looking shakier politically than ever. Why is that?
I do suggest that it's shakier than ever, particularly over the long term. In the near term, he's clearly very much in control. He has loyalty of the armed forces and of the police. He's devoted considerable efforts, both in terms of his own personal energy and state resources, to maintaining and building up the capacity of the army and police. They are arguably more professional than they were 5 years ago. But he also runs a regime that is increasingly repressive and based on force. So, yes, he wins an election, but he does so by outspending his opponent by at least 4 or 5 to 1, arguably looting the Treasury to do so. He had to request a supplementary budget from Parliament only halfway through the fiscal year. He's now had to request a second supplemental budget. There may be a third. So, yes, he won an election, but he did so at cost to the economy and, as I said, increasingly resorting to repressive means. Uganda looks very democratic when you're in Kampala. When you go outside, it's very much another story.
In terms of the economy, President Museveni is clearly hoping that the discovery of large reserves of oil in the west of the country will help rescue Uganda from its financial problems. Is he right to be optimistic about this?
He's right to be optimistic. This is an incredible discovery in terms of the amount of oil, not only on the Uganda side of the border, but also on the Congolese side around the Lake Albert area. There is a lot of oil there. But one aspect of the oil that is rarely discussed in public is that it has a very high content of paraffin in it, or wax. And what this means is that when the oil is brought up to the surface and essentially is in contact with the normal temperature above surface, it congeals. Once you get into a situation like that, the following technical problems present themselves. The first is that the oil, if it's to be moved down a pipeline, has to be done so via a heated pipeline. This will be much more expensive for already the construction of a pipeline at least 600 miles down to Kenya. So this greatly adds to the cost. It also means that the pipeline probably has to be above surface. This presents both environmental risk and also presents potential risks of sabotage. Museveni hopes to get around this by building a refinery in Uganda. He wants a very large one, one that's far larger than necessary in terms of producing refined products for Uganda's needs and indeed the needs of the entire East African regions. And then he needs external financing for this. And the question is, will the major players, announced players and potential players, particularly Tullow Oil and the Chinese National Oil Company, but perhaps Shell as well, and Total, if they come into the deal, are they willing to finance the cost of both a pipeline and a refinery in order to bring this crude to the surface and even if it's only partially refined down to the Kenyan coast for exports? That's going to take a tremendous amount of money. And the big kicker here is that the World Bank is not going to come in on this project as it did on the Chad pipeline. Perhaps the African Development Bank, although well, I really won't speak for them, but the World Bank, I have on good authority, is not going to come in. And so Museveni, all this stuff may not be built in time. And lastly, the earliest that this will come to the fruition is 2016 or 2017. And Museveni needs money before that in order to maintain himself in power.
And as part of that, continuing on to more of the political spectrum, have the recent Walk to Work protests led by defeated election candidate Kizza Besigye affected your assessment of Uganda's stability?
Actually, no. My assessment was and remains that Uganda is stable, with quotation marks around it, in the short term, but that Uganda is on a slow but steady trajectory downward over the next 3 to 4 years, and that the real crunch point in Uganda will come over whether Museveni runs for a fifth presidential term 5 years from now, which is likely to produce considerable resistance within his own party, or if he does not, how the succession is managed, which is also going to be very tricky. There could be some near-term triggers that would be a source of instability, particularly a resumption of hostilities in South Sudan and whether that would spill over into the Uganda. The Uganda Defense Force is concerned about that, taking appropriate steps. But in terms of political stability, as opposed to a spillover from Sudan, in the short term, Museveni is fine. On the other hand, the right to work walks by Besigye clearly show that there's discontent. I was surprised that the protest, though small and probably would have petered out, took place in a number of cities, not just Kampala. So clearly the kindling is there. The real question is how big the match is going to be. I also think that Museveni blundered, as he has repeatedly, in resorting to force. Had he simply ignored Besigye, I think Uganda's would have ignored the protests after a week or two. But on the other hand, perhaps not. Perhaps his calculation, looking at North Africa, is that these protests can continue, in fact, accelerate and spin out of control. For now, it looks like they've ceased.
All right. So it seems that the United States faces a dilemma in its relations with Uganda. Clearly, it's concerned about governance issues, but it also values its security partnership with Kampala. What, if anything, should the United States be doing to rebalance this relationship?
Well, I think the United States needs to be engaged in a much more proactive diplomacy. I had expected that to be the case. I think there have been some behind-the-scenes so-called quiet diplomacy, but Museveni doesn't respond to quiet diplomacy. It's not clear that he will respond to public diplomacy either. But given the statements by the Secretary of State with respect to what is occurring across North Africa, given generally our policy in places like Zimbabwe and also in the Ivory Coast, where we've been quite strong on democratization, this is a real glaring inconsistency in our policy. And consistency can sometimes refer to as the hobgoblin of fools. Nonetheless, we need to make absolutely clear to Museveni that this is his last term. We could be proactive in perhaps trying to provide a soft landing for him, although I think that's going to be more difficult. And he's indicated in the past he hasn't wanted it. But you're beginning to get public voices in Uganda calling for him to step down, including most recently his own brother. So perhaps we have a greater opportunity now than we did even a year ago to start applying the pressure, perhaps withholding aid. Uganda would probably be in Somalia whether we were continuing to refrain from criticism as we have been or not. That's my belief, quite frankly, after talking to senior people in the Uganda military. I think there's no reason why we can't be more proactive in terms of urging him to that this term is his last, strengthening parliament. We do have aid programs there in that regard. And the like. Otherwise, we face a real problem on our hands 3 or 4 years down the road. Of course, that'll be on the watch of another administration, maybe. And often when you put out near-term fires, you kick the can down the road. This is a classic case of the can being kicked down the road.
Well, Dr. Barkin, thank you. You can read the whole report, Uganda, Assessing Risk to Stability, by going to our website at csis.org/program/Africa. You can catch this and all the interviews in our Africa interview series on iTunes U.